I want us tonight to go back and do a little more work on the subject that we were on last Wednesday night. We were teaching from the book of Romans, chapter number 5, and several verses of scripture there. We're not going to read all of them tonight. I do want to make reference to the main verse of scripture that we focused more attention on last week than any others. And I want to go back because I want to take it a step further tonight. I'm not going to go back and reteach last Wednesday night's lesson, but I do want to take it a step further and show us the absolute direct connection between faith and obedience. The verse of scripture that we noted last week was verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Of course, we also talked about verse number 18, the verse previous to that, where he said, "By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, and so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And in our lesson, in our teaching last Wednesday night, we tried to make the clear points that whenever we obey, then the blessings of God come upon our life. And when we disobey, then the judgments of God. By one man's offense, judgment came upon all men, because one man disobeyed, because one man offended God and his law, then judgment was passed upon all men. And by one man's disobedience, he said, many were made sinners. And so we understand that disobedience does not bring the blessings of God, but it brings the judgment of God. Whereas disobedience brings judgment, we note by these same scriptures that obedience brings the blessings of God. So by the righteousness of one, or the obedience of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so by the obedience of one, he said, so many shall be made righteous. And so Adam disobeyed, and all men were made sinners. We, by the word of God, we have been taught that we are conceived in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. You and I have no control over the state that we come into this world in. We have no control over that. We were born sinners, and we were born sinners because Adam disobeyed God. And I made a very clear statement that everything that you see in our world today, everything that happens, that's happening in our world, the sin, the degradation, our society and the state that it's in, everything that happens out here in the world that has to do with sin and unrighteousness, all of that is the direct result of one thing and one thing only, and that's disobedience. Adam disobeyed, and that's the world that we have today. And when we come in this house and we see people that have been born again of water and spirit, we see what God has done and how that men can now rise above that sin and live a life of righteousness. All of that is the result of Jesus Christ obeying his call and his purpose for being in this world. Thank God one man obeyed. Amen. I'm not happy that one man disobeyed and we have to deal with sin the way we do, but I am happy that Jesus Christ obeyed, and because he obeyed, this blessed hope we have now inside of us is a direct result of that. Thank God for the obedience of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. And so I see that as something that we need to grasp a hold of. And that is that if we, as we live for God and live in this world, want to experience the blessings of God and the goodness of God, then all you and I have to do is just learn how to have a spirit of obedience in us and have actions of obedience. We're blessed when we have a spirit of obedience within our heart and our life. Do I hear a witness? Does anybody believe that tonight? Amen. We are blessed of God. God is going to bless us when we obey His Word and we obey the will of the Spirit. And so that is, of course, the summation of much of what we said last week. And so I want to start from that point, and I want to take it a step further. And I want to talk about this connection between faith and obedience. Praise the Lord. When you look in Scripture, we understand that faith plays a great role in our work for God, or our work in the work of God. In fact, we've heard the Scripture over and over again in Hebrews 11, where He said that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe that would be found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And so without faith, you and I cannot please God. We have got to have faith in God, and we have to believe that God is, that God exists, that God is real. Amen. You can't get anywhere in God and anything from God until you first believe that God exists. Amen. You got to believe that God exists. You got to believe that God is real before you can even believe that God can do for you what you ask Him to do. And so faith in God is important. And of course, the Scripture clearly states that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even please God unless you have faith in God within your very heart. Now, when we go through Scriptures, and I'm going to read several references here tonight, we note that faith plays a very major role, even in the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. If you look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And this is a direct reference to the man that came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof." But He said, "If you will speak the word," He said, "my servant will be healed." And Jesus, of course, he was implying He was going to come. And the man said, "Look, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a man under authority." He said, I can say to this one, "Go," and he goes, and that one, "Come," and he comes. And all of these things happen because I'm a man in authority. You're a man in authority. And so I believe if you speak the word, it will take place. And Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Go your way. Your servant has been made whole." So faith played a very important role in that miracle. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2. He said, "And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and seeing their faith, Jesus said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" And so these men had such an exhibition of faith in their life that when they brought that man sick of the palsy, that was what Jesus took note of. He took note of their faith and then began to perform the work in the life of that man who needed the work done. Then you look at verse 22 and chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, talking about the woman with the issue of blood, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. You see, there's just something that's got to be in our heart that says God is alive. God has all power in heaven above and the earth beneath. That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I have to believe that what He has done, He will do it again. I have to believe tonight that what may be impossible with men is never impossible with God. And so when I reach out in faith to Him, believing that He got the power and that He will do it, amen, that is important in seeing the work accomplished. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then in Matthew 9 and 29, Jesus touched the eyes of some blind men. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so we have other examples here. We have one in chapter 15 and verse 28 of Matthew. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now there's another connection there, and I want to come back to that later on here tonight. But if you look at Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let me camp here just a couple of minutes, church, and tell you that we serve a mighty God. We serve the God that created the heavens above, and he made this earth beneath. You and I tonight serve the God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I don't believe that we have to live below our God-given privileges tonight. We have a God that will do what we ask him to do. Well, praise the Lord. I understand that the will of God is involved. I understand that there are things that we pray and the way we pray. But I am telling you tonight that you and I do not ever need to cease asking God for those things that we desire. If you desire revival, pray for revival. If you desire more of God, pray for more of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. If you need a healing, keep coming back to be prayed for. If you need a miracle, believe God for that miracle. Because glory to God. When you don't ask, then it's not faith working, but it's doubt and unbelief. But when you're asking, faith is saying, you're God. You can do it. And I'm coming back again, and I'm trusting you to do the work. Praise the Lord. Don't let doubt minimize the greatness of your God. Don't let unbelief take away the mightiness of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't look at your circumstances and your situation of life and let that control how you view and how you observe the greatness of God. Amen. I am telling you, things around you will do all it can to hide the mightiness and the greatness of the God that you serve. We are serving the true and the living God. I don't know why that I feel inside of me tonight such a compelling, such an unction to tell you that we can believe him. We can believe him. We can believe him. He's God, and he will do what his word says that he will do. Hallelujah. Let us praise him again. Hallelujah. My Lord. Our God can divide Red Seas. Our God can roll back Jordan's rivers. You notice I'm using the plural term. Because if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Your God tonight and my God can rain manna down from heaven in the wilderness. Our God knows how to unlock prison doors. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God can raise the dead. Our God has raised the dead. Oh, glory to God. Why can I tell you tonight that he can raise the dead? Because he has raised the dead. Why can I tell you that he can unlock prison doors? It's because he has unlocked prison doors. How can I tell you tonight he will set at liberty them that are captive? Because he has set at liberty them that are captive. Why can I tell you this tonight? Because and he will do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, if we desire it, he's got it. Praise the Lord. I said, if you desire it, he's got it. There's just one thing you got to do. Ask it. Huh? Ask for it. Ask for it. He said, if your child asks you a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? If he asks of you a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone? He said, no. He said, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your, if you know how to do that for your natural children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to them that ask of him? We don't have to live like beggars in this world. We don't have to live like paupers in the spiritual realm. I'm telling you that God wants to do what he did at Pentecost. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Oh, come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. You see, in the Old Testament, the writers of the Old Testament had to say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's what the Old Testament writers had to write, because their eyes could not see and their ears could not hear, and it had never entered into their heart what God really wanted to do. But the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has opened the door, and he opened the door at Pentecost. He, my God, hallelujah. And I am telling you, the measure that he did the work at Pentecost is the measure that he wants to do it in 2006. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, we have precedent here. God set a precedent for the church. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, and it filled, and it filled. Come on, we don't have to have an empty house. We don't have to have an empty house. We don't have to have an empty church. We don't have to have an empty soul. We serve a God who wants to fill it up. Fill the house. Fill our hearts. But there's a key. And that key is, you're God. You're God. You got the whole world in your hands. Look at what you created. Look at the mountains and the rivers, and look at the mighty, majestic views and the scenes of our world today that men travel sometimes hours and hours and miles upon thousands of miles to see it. Amen. Sometimes people fly across the world to see some of the mighty handiwork of God. If they could only look around here in some hearts and see what God has done in some hearts in this place, they would see a beauty, amen, that would surpass the Grand Canyon. It would surpass Niagara Falls. It would surpass any beautiful thing, because the God that we serve knows how to go beyond just a creative work and begin to remake and renew and restore and regenerate. God can take beauty from ashes. Amen. So our God's great. And our God tonight is just looking for some folks just believe him to do what he said he would do. Now, he said in Isaiah 43 and 8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may just be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be any after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who's going to turn it back? Who's going to hinder it? Praise the Lord. Is anybody in the house that God's ever done a work for you? Has God ever healed your body? How many of God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Our problem sometimes is we think that God does certain things and he quits. He lays off the job. He's gotten laid off or he's on unemployment or something. God is not on a vacation. God is not. He has no desire to be unemployed tonight. Do you know what? The busier we can keep God, the happier he is. Hallelujah. I said, the busier we can keep God, the happier God is. He is ready. He never, you read in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you read the account of Jesus Christ's ministry, and then you look at what John said. If all the works that he did had been written, he said the books could not, the world could not contain the books.
That's right.
He's pretty busy. Pretty busy. The world couldn't even hold the books of what Jesus has done. Someone said, I don't want to bother him. He's too busy. No, I'm going to bother him. Because I've got some things I want him to do. Can I hear a witness? Amen. Now, so we need faith. And faith in God and his power will produce the miraculous, the supernatural. Can I hear a witness? I've already read you scriptures one after another about faith. But I want to go back. I just briefly touched this last Wednesday night. I did not get into it, but I want to come back to it tonight. And I want to tell you that there is that first element that is absolutely necessary, and that being faith. We've got to believe in God. Now, if we believe in God, we're going to start believing in his word. Everybody hold the book up. The book. Hold the book up. Hold your Bible up. Amen. If you believe in God, you got to believe in that book right there. Because if you don't believe in that book, you don't believe in God. Because in the beginning was, hold it up again, come on, hold it up. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what else? It was God. So if you believe in the Word, you believe in God. And if you believe in God, you're going to believe in his Word. And whatever is written in that Word, you're going to have faith that he will back it up. Amen. You know, I'm right there on that point. Every now and then when you're praying, you need to get a hold of the book. And I said, I want to talk to you about what you've got written in this book right here.
Amen.
No, that's not being arrogant. That's not being egotistical. That's not being sarcastic with God. It's just taking his word back to him. Preached a message here one time about taking the promise back to the promiser. The one that made the promise. Amen. God, I want to talk to you about what's in this book right here. I want to talk to you about what's in the Word. Now, this book right here tells me you can never fail. This book tells me that you'll never lie. This book tells me you can't even deny yourself. You can't even deny the existence of yourself. You don't even have that ability to do it. You can't do that, God. I want to talk to you about a few things in this book. And I'm telling you, friend, when you get a hold of this book and you start praying this book and you start taking this book back to God, the Lord does not ignore his Word. But my Bible teaches me and it teaches you. Amen. This word will never return to him void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases. And I am convinced that when you and I start getting a hold of this book, and we start praying with this book in our hand, and we start talking to God with this book in our hand, and we start letting Him know, Lord, I got more than just Holy Ghost inside. I got Your Word in my heart, and I got it in my hand, and I'm here today to claim what's in this book. I'm here today to claim what's in Your Word.
Amen.
When you believe God, you're going to believe His book. That means that when this book is being preached, when this book is being taught, if you believe in God,
all right.
Now if somebody's up here giving you a bunch of fairy tales, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to respond at all. That if they're giving you a bunch of fairy tales, a bunch of stories that don't mean anything, but if they're in this book, and they're reading this book, and they're quoting this book, and they're using examples out of this book to help you learn how to live for God, if there's anything that ought to be happening in your life, something ought to be rising up inside saying, amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. What are you saying? It's not that the preacher needs you saying amen. It's the fact that the devil needs to hear you say amen. You need to say it in your own heart and from your own lips. You need to confess that what's being preached is the truth. Yeah, come on now. What does it do? I'll tell you what it does. It starts generating faith in the church. Hallelujah. But when the Word of God begins to be preached and you start working with the Word and you start shouting amen at the Word. No, hallelujah. It's not the man you're saying amen to. It's the Word you're saying amen to. It's the Word that you're shouting hallelujah to. It's the Word that you're responding to. And what you're saying, God, is let it be so in my heart. Let it be so in my heart. Let it be right in my spirit. Let me take what I'm hearing right now and put it into my being so I can believe You, so I can have faith in what Your Word is saying.
Hallelujah.
Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Hallelujah. And so when the Word of God is going forth and you're saying, be it unto me according to Your Word. Last time a lady said that, she was with child. Something happened inside. She conceived. And something began to form.
All right.
Come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. I'm getting strung out here tonight. I'm trying to get back to what I really want to teach on. Maybe I'm in the vein. Maybe I will. I think I am on the right track right here. Hallelujah. Something began to be formed in her. That when it was born, it was the Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Hallelujah. What do we need? I'll tell you what we need. We need a formation of Christ in our life. How are we going to get that formation of Christ? We get that formation of Christ when we say, be it unto me according to Your Word. Let Your Word birth something inside. Let it conceive something in my spirit. And let me begin to give birth to something that's like Jesus Christ. I've got enough of my flesh. I got enough of my carnality. Let me have something birthed inside. Let there be a formation. Why do we need a formation of Christ? Because Christ was obedient. Hey, come on now. I said Christ was obedient. And because of His obedience, righteousness came upon many. The blessing of God came upon many. So when we're saying, be it unto me according to Your Word, and Christ is being formed, a spirit of obedience is beginning to control our life. And what's happening? Hallelujah. The blessings of God come upon the church. Revival comes on the church. The work of the Spirit begins to be performed among us. Oh, praise the Lord. There is such a strong, strong connection. In fact, it's an unbreakable connection between faith and obedience. Hallelujah. When Mary submitted herself, which is what you have to have in order to obey. You have to have submission in order to have obedience. When she submitted herself to the will of God, and she said, "Be it unto me according to your word," something started happening on the inside of her. I'm going to tell you, when we start getting submitted to the word of God, oh, what can happen to us? What can begin to take place inside of us? Now, oh, there's so many verses in Scripture. Let me just give you a paraphrase real quick. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Oh, he says, I'm living, but it's not me really. I have life, but it's not my life. That's why he said what he did. Nevertheless, I live. He wasn't saying, I live because of my own. There's something inside of me generates this life. And I'm living by my own power, my own ability, my own. No, no. He said, nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And so when there's a living Christ on the inside of you, then there's going to be a spirit of obedience.
Right.
Now, here's where I tried to make a connection last Wednesday night, and I want to bring it over to this Wednesday night. And that is that I gave you several miracles that basically all that was mentioned there was the aspect of faith. But then we have other miracles that Jesus performed that we know faith was present. But the work was not complete until there was an act of obedience. Now let me just pause long enough tonight to tell you that the only reason you're in the church is because faith arose in your heart when you heard the word of God preached that you could be saved. Is that right? Amen. And when faith arose in your heart and you started believing that I can be saved, God can deliver me, God can bring me out of where I am and save me, then from that point, before that you could actually experience salvation, there had to be some acts of obedience on your part. You had to repent. That's obedience. That's being obedient to the word of God. And then you had to be baptized in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, for the remission of your sins. That's an act of obedience. But can I tell you that act of obedience, now listen, because here's a connection I want you to make in your mind and heart. That act of obedience, or that performance of obedience in your heart and life, was a direct result of faith. In other words, it was in reality an act of faith. Your obedience was an act of faith. Because when you went to the altar and began to repent of your sins, your faith said, if I go up there and I ask God to forgive me of my sins, He'll forgive me of my sins. So that was an act of faith. Your obedience actually became an act of faith. Your faith said, if I repent, I'm going to be forgiven. Your faith said, if I go down in that baptistry, or I go down in the lake or a river or wherever in water and I'm immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have all of my sins washed away. That was faith working in your heart and in your life. You see, there is such a strong correlation and such a strong connection between obedience and faith. The reality is when you are obeying the word of God, you are actually saying, I have faith that what I am obeying by God's word is right. I believe that God is to declared it. I believe that God has promised it, and so I'm going to do what His Word says. Jesus stood outside the grave of Lazarus. Here's an example. As He stood outside the grave of Lazarus, He was groaning in Himself when He came to that grave. The Bible said it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha come running up there and said, don't do that. By now, he stinks. It's been 4 days. You see what unbelief does? Unbelief doesn't follow directions. Huh? Because if you look at the very next verse, Jesus again reprimanded her and said, have I not told you? If you'd believe. Disobedience is a sign of unbelief.
All right.
Disobedience is in reality unbelief at work.
Right.
What is obedience? It's faith at work.
Right.
I got to say that again because there wasn't very many amens right there. Maybe you're thinking about it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that disobedience is unbelief at work. If you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. Oh, praise the Lord. I said, if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. But if you believe it, there's going to be some obedience. Obedience is faith at work. When you start obeying, it's a revelation of your faith. It's a revealing of your faith. It's an example of your faith. When you start working, you're proving your faith. Obedience is faith at work. When God gives you. Now, here they are at the grave. Lazarus is in the grave. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is wrapped up in grave clothes. He's been there 4 days. And yes, probably by now, the smell was less than what anybody wanted to experience. And Martha comes running up. I want to tell you, Lord, by this time he stinks. He has been dead 4 days. That is not the reason she didn't want that stone rolled back. That was an excuse. We can always find justification for not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Huh? I said, we can always find justification. We can always find a reason for not obeying. But the reality is, disobedience is unbelief at work. When you're not believing, you're not going to obey. And when you're not believing, you'll find an excuse for not doing what you have been instructed to do. There's a reason. Don't roll that stone back. That was not the reason. She was still upset at Jesus because he let him die. She was still upset at Jesus because he didn't come earlier. She was still upset because he let him die. That's what she blamed it on the Lord. She had a problem with Jesus at that point. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. You see, when you don't turn your cell phone off, that's whenever you get embarrassed by having the cable guy's ringer on your phone. I heard it all the way in the pulpit. Hallelujah. It's not a suntan she's got either, or a sunburn. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? Disobedience is unbelief at work. And unbelief and disobedience always finds an excuse and always gives a justification. Always wants. Don't do that. By now, I got to remind you, Jesus, he'd been dead 4 days. I remind you, it's not going to work. You're just playing games with our emotions. Jesus said, roll that stone back. Get that stone out of the way. And there were some folks that had enough faith that they acted in obedience and they rolled the stone away, and Jesus called out to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, you've heard it said before. The elder said it here one night so beautifully that the very reason why that Lazarus got up and walked out the door of that tomb was because he was a dead man, and a dead man don't have a will. The only thing that a dead man can do is just do what he's told to do. Hallelujah. And when you and I get dead to ourselves, Lazarus didn't argue with the point. He didn't argue about whether or not he had been dead for 4 days. He didn't argue. He didn't say, hey, I can't do that. I've been dead 4 days. That ain't going to work, Jesus. No, friend, whenever Jesus spoke the words, he got up and started walking out of the tomb. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you that whenever we start learning how to just obey the word of God, just do what the Bible says, just follow God's divine plan without making excuses, then we are showing that faith is at work in our life through our obedience. Obedience is faith at work. Praise the Lord. And so, we need to quit making excuses for our unbelief. Praise the Lord. Well, I go up there and get prayed for, but the Word of God said, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil. The prayer of faith would save the sick and the Lord would raise them up. Someone said, but you know, the problem is, Pastor, we pray for folks and they don't get healed. Well, we pray for folks and they don't get the Holy Ghost. But do we quit praying for people because they don't get the Holy Ghost the first time we pray for them? Huh? We don't let that stop us praying for people for the Holy Ghost. Do we pray for people for a renewing that needs a renewing? Hallelujah. Oh, we don't quit praying for people because they didn't receive the Holy Ghost the first time they came. So why should we quit praying for people that need a touch of God? He said, now, if they have an affliction, let them pray. If any's merry, let them sing. He was given some instructions in James chapter 5. About how to deal with certain situations. But he made it very emphatic. He talked about affliction. If someone's afflicted, let them pray. He said if they're merry, let them sing a psalm. Let them sing psalms or whatever, hymns. And let them get involved in singing and worship. If they have, you know, if they feel good about everything. And then he said if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're letting faith work when you are obedient to the word of God. Hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes we make these excuses. Well, I don't know. Well, I've been through so much lately until I don't know if I even want to go to church. Well, your Bible tells you, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You know what's happened here tonight? You're in church. You're obedient to the Word of God. But there's something else working. It's a working of your faith that says, if I can get to church, I can get in the presence of God. I can get renewed. I can worship Him. I can get among the saints of God. I can be strengthened. Good things can happen. I'll hear the Word of God preached. My faith will be lifted up. I'll be strengthened. I'll be encouraged. I'll leave out of the service tonight a different individual than the way I came. Let me tell you, coming to church is an act of obedience, but it's your faith at work that says, if I get there, God can help me while I'm there. Amen. You know, I've had people tell me, I don't know how many times this has happened, but I've had people tell me, so, you know, I've really been dealing with a situation. I didn't know what the answer was. And I just said, okay, God, I'm going to church tonight. And I want you to lay your hand on the preacher tonight and let him give me an answer from the Word of God tonight. And I can't tell you how many times they said, tonight, I got my answer. Why? Because faith was at work. But you were acting in obedience when you come to the house of God. It is an act of obedience to be in church. Well, I believe that with all of my heart. And I do understand that there are some circumstances. There are things that hinder people. But if you're just sitting at home, then your unbelief is at work, and you're justifying just sitting at home, staying out of church. Amen. Again, y'all know I'm not so Well, anyway, I think there are things that people let hinder that they shouldn't let hinder. Shouldn't be a hindrance. Well, praise the Lord. Often wondered. Now I won't say that. Let me go on. All right. Ezekiel 37:1. Hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit, set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about. There were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin. Put breath in you, you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, can you imagine someone standing over there on the hill and looking down at a prophet in the valley of dry bones? I mean, brother, those bones scattered everywhere. And here's a prophet saying, Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Can you imagine the guy on the hill looking down there saying, Boy, that prophet's been in the sun too long. You got a problem. No. I'll tell you what was in the heart of Ezekiel. A spirit of obedience and faith went to work. He said, I think I'll just go ahead and obey. I'll just go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do. And he started prophesying. He said, So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. You see, the individual, if there had been anyone up there on that mountain, which I think it was a spiritual experience, it was a vision. There was a reality to it because he did what God told him to do. But he was carried away in the spirit, and the Lord put him into the midst of a valley of dry bones. So it was a spiritual experience. It was a vision of sorts. And so that's what my perception is. So I don't know that it was an actual valley full of bones in the sense of reality that you could find a valley there that had those bones in it. The Lord put him in a position where he showed him the house of Israel and their condition, the state that they were in. But it was such a real vision that when he heard God tell him what to do, he even did it in the vision. He even did it in the experience. And he started commanding. Now, again, if I use that analogy or that example of someone were standing on the hill, can you imagine the shock? Well, they started hearing the rumbling and the rattling of those bones as they started coming together and bone connect. I mean, just bones hopping across the valley to get connected with the other bones. Can you imagine the experience that would have been for somebody? But the lesson would have been, you need to obey. Do what God says. Ezekiel had a revival in the valley of dry bones simply because he preached what God told him to preach. Please, I hope, Lord have mercy. Sometimes there's things I feel like I need to say. And I'm hesitate because it looks self-serving or whatever. But the reality is, somebody's got to say it sometimes. Sometimes don't find fault with what the preacher's preaching. God may have told him. In fact, you better hope God told him. Hallelujah. I like that little boy watching his daddy, who was a pastor, make notes, and he was erasing a bunch of stuff. And he said, Daddy, does God give you all that stuff? He said, He sure does, son. He said, Then how come you're erasing part of it? So, you never know. But you don't ever know what God's got in mind. There might be some dry bones laying around that God wants to revive. And rather than finding fault or trying to justify your unbelief in what's being preached, stop and think. Somebody's got to obey God. Somebody's got to follow God's plan. All right. Two or three things and I'm going to quit for tonight. Lord, I can't let you go now. It's only 15 to 9. It's too early. Let's stay around for a while. Everybody say amen. That's so weak.
That's so weak.
Look at some miracles. Jesus spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and then said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus Christ could have touched that man's eyes and healed him instantly. But faith was at work when he obeyed. His faith was just as great in what Jesus Christ said. Because you see, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. This is John 9 and 7. And it said, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So the purpose of him going to wash in the pool of Siloam was to get his healing. He believed in what Jesus told him to do. He acted in obedience. So his obedience was faith at work. I can't say that enough tonight because I hope it gets a hold of your heart. When you are obedient, your faith is at work. When you are disobedient, your unbelief is at work. Because if you believe, you'll obey. You'll do. If you don't believe, you won't do. Can I hear a witness? All right. Luke 5, 4 through 9. I won't give you all of the, I won't read everything, but Jesus told his disciples, or told Simon, said, launch out in the deep, let your nets down for a draw. And of course, here you go. Listen, here it is again. Verse number 5, Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night, we have taken nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I'll believe in your word. And so because I believe in your word, I'll do what you say. And when they did it, what happened? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. They filled both of the ships up with fish. Man, what a fishing trip. Wow. So that the boats begin to sink. Have anybody around here ever caught so many fish that the boat started sinking? Look out. Don't want to be guilty of lying now. So, what you have here is a man who initially said, but Lord, we fit. Hang on just a second, Lord. Whatever you say, I'll do it. We've been trying all night long. We worked all night. Now you think, okay, Lord, whatever you say. At your word, I'll do what you say. What happened? The results. I'm telling you, church, you've got to believe what I'm preaching to you and teaching to you from the word of God. There are results in obedience because it's faith at work. He sent out 12 of his disciples. He said, go your way, preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. They went out and did it. 70 came back with joy. Lord, the devils are subject to us in your name. All of these things happened simply because they did what Jesus Christ told them to do. Now, I'll try to wrap this up. And just tell us tonight that when we go through this book, now you can choose not to obey. And you can justify. You can always find justification when it's disobedience or unbelief. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's coming to church, if it's worshiping. You don't have any Bible for not worshiping. But we all have lots of Bible for worshiping. None of us have any Bible tonight for not doing anything when we come to church. All of us have lots of Bible for doing everything. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Whatever it is. And worship is one of those things that you can find to do. When we worship,
we're being obedient. But more than that, our faith is at work. Worship, living righteous. When we live separated from the world, it is an act of obedience, but it's our faith at work. We believe the word of God, and we believe it's right, and we believe this is what God wants. And when we obey, God blesses us. Disobedience always brings the judgments of God. I could cover so many bases tonight. So many bases. When he said in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithe, all the tithe. That doesn't mean part of the tithe. That means all the tithe. That means the whole tithe. That means the full 10%. He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive. Now, when we obey that, that's an act of faith. But when we disobey that, our unbelief is at work, and we will always justify why we don't pay tithes. There's always be a justification. I can't afford it. Well, I cannot afford it. Or I can afford not to do it. You say, what do you mean by that? I said, because faith in God. If you believe in God, you believe His word and you believe His promises. Can I hear a witness? You'll find out you can't outgive God. You'll find out you cannot outgive God. You'll find out. I'm telling you, the Lord will do what He said He would do. But here's the thing sometimes that we fail to remember, and that is that when we obey it, we are acting in faith. And we're saying, I believe what God has said. I believe in Him, and I believe in His Word. You know, there's so many things we could apply this to. We could apply it to so many areas. Offerings, giving offerings from a free will offering, a love offering unto the Lord. That when we do these things, we're not only being obedient, but there's an act of faith going on. Our faith is at work when we are obeying. But I'm telling you, when we are disobedient, unbelief is at work. And there's always justification for not doing what we've been told to do by the Word of God. Let's stand. I just choose to go ahead and try to be obedient to the best of my ability. When we are disobedient, He does have a way of chastening us for the purpose of getting us back in line again so we'll obey. And when we get back in line and start obeying again, our faith is back to work, and we're starting to see the blessings of God. Amen. We incurred the wrath of our parents whenever we disobeyed them. But they didn't do it because they hated us. They did it because they loved us. Loved us enough to discipline us. God loves us enough to discipline us. You know, sometime when you hear a message like what we had, what we heard Sunday night prior to that, that's not God trying to belittle us. It's God loving us enough to tell us where we are, to save us, bring us out of where we've been, and bring us closer to Him. Amen. Let me repeat it again. This is the final thing I want you to take home with you tonight. When you're obeying, when you're acting in obedience, your faith is at work. When you are disobeying, or when you're acting in disobedience, your unbelief is at work, and you will always justify not doing what you're supposed to do. That ought to be a revelation to all of us. And when we walk out tonight, we need to say, you know what, God? I think I want to start obeying to the best of my ability in everything because I want blessings of the Lord. Not the judgment. Let's thank you.